The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute, locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Taya.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and the Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. Parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the current ministries, and the people of St. Mel Parish and the West Park neighborhood of Cleveland. And before we begin our look at St. Mel's, I would like to take a moment to reflect on the passing of one of our recent guests. Deacon Dennis Smith served at Nativity of Our Lord Jesus Parish in Springfield Township, just south of Akron, for more than 20 years. He was one of our guests when we featured Nativity of the Lord Jesus in our December broadcast. A victim during this COVID pandemic, our prayers go out for Deacon Smith, his family, and the people of Nativity of the Lord Jesus Parish in remembrance of someone who so well served doing the Lord's work. Well, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship, and in order to respect the COVID-19 protocols via teleconference, is Father Mark Fedor, the pastor of St. Mel's in West Park, and also John Colombo, a parishioner of 70 years at the parish. So let's first take a look at things as we have explored the various parishes across the Diocese of Cleveland. We find many different time periods and purposes for the establishment of parishes. And as we look at St. Mel's, I believe it's the first that we've encountered that was purposed to serve the post-World War II baby boom explosion, a sudden demand then for housing and accommodations for all the returning GIs and their families. And I guess I would ask John, first of all, does that sound correct? I know you joined on sometime early on in the early 50s, correct?
I moved into the parish, or I came into the parish in 1949. Bishop did have problems with people, I guess you might say, the amount of parishioners, the amount of Catholic people that were coming into the area. Bishop Edward Hoban felt that St. Vincent de Paul Church, located southeast of the present St. Mel Church, as well as St. Mark's, located northwest, were overcrowded and a new parish was needed. The bishop appointed former military chaplain Father John T. Murphy as pastor. On November 12, 1945, the parish was formed. The first Mass was held in the auditorium of Riverside School on December 6, 1945. Mass continued to be held there until the first Mass was said in the current St. Mel Church on July 3, 1949. I lived in Lakewood at the time, but I had an aunt who was a member of St. Mel's. She would pick me up to attend Mass in Riverside School. I remember two instances there. One was while Father Murphy was saying Mass, a toddler walked up to him between the rows of chairs that passed as the center aisle, handed him a church envelope. He looked down at her, smiled, and said, "Well, at least she has the right idea." As a youth, I was 19 at the time. I was impressed with the priest. The other time when Mass was over, the altar boy came up to me and asked if I could stay and serve the next Mass. I told him I was not a server, so even then, I guess the priest had a hard time getting help.
Well, that's a very good review of what life was like, I'm sure, at the starting of all of that. And, you know, we'll go into the 1940s, and as you said, John, 49 is when you came in. You know, Cleveland at that time was a city of ethnic neighborhoods, and their parishes reflected those cultures. Is that why Father St. Mel's, a saint of Irish heritage, was chosen?
I don't really think so. One of the traditions was the prerogative of the bishop, when he's establishing a parish, to name the parish. Bishop Holman, at that time, had been an auxiliary bishop in Chicago, and there had been a St. Mel parish in Chicago. Now, there was a large Irish contingent in this area. West Park's well known for that fact. But people who came into the parish, who were part of that parish, were from a variety of neighboring areas. Sample is Colombo. It's not an Irish name.
true.
And my experience had been you had people coming from Lakewood, from the Slovak parish there, the Polish parish there. We've had a wide variety of ethnic groups represented, but Mel was probably named by Bishop Holman, and from that time on, that's how the parish has been known.
That's very interesting. You know, I was looking at your 75th anniversary program, and I should highlight that fact that the parish is that old now. What an anniversary to celebrate. You did feature an interesting historical account of St. Mel, and I think that might be worth relating to us as we look at, well, in this case, you know, the Irish roots for St. Mel.
Mel is the nephew of St. Patrick, as what we know from what's recorded of him. A lot of it is tradition, a lot of it is legend. But Mel was the nephew of St. Patrick and was living in Ireland. He eventually was a bishop, a missionary bishop, but he was also a rather simple individual from what, again, we understand. He farmed in order to take care of himself. And one of the things that struck me when I got here was that the shrine of St. Mel was just a very small little place underneath the staircase going up to the choir loft. And the statue there was of a universal bishop. By that I mean it's the same statue, whether it was St. Patrick, St. Boniface, St. Augustine. I've seen it before. So I had a statue executed of St. Mel, and I wanted to portray elements of his life there. One, he had some regalia from being a bishop, but an important thing was that he was accused in some fashion of having an unusual relationship with his aunt, Patrick's sister. So Patrick came to investigate this. And in order to prove his innocence, as it were, the story is that Mel reached into the farmland that he was working at that time, into the ground, and pulled out a fish. So the statue of St. Mel that she's portrayed here and that was executed for us has Mel holding a fish to prove his innocence. The coincidence of that was the fact that I arrived here at St. Mel shortly before and in the midst of the critical issue in the church of the sexual abuse. And Mel proved his innocence by that demonstration to his uncle Patrick.
Wow, fascinating story.
I made sure that was there.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, very fascinating story. When we return, St. Mel's, a great example of a parish serving the spiritual needs of its people, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, our interview being conducted via special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices during this COVID-19 pandemic. And my guest, pastor at St. Mel's on Cleveland's West Park neighborhood, Father Mark Fedor, and Mr. John Colombo, longtime parishioner, in fact, just 70 years, a member of St. Mel's. We're so glad you're with us. And maybe I'll turn to you, John, first to talk a little bit about the development of the parish. And it is interesting. We have found on our past programs that the development of the interstate highway system feeding suburbia had some profound effects on many of our parishes. And I think I-90 may well have had some effect on St. Mel's as a parish, and wondered if you could give us some insight.
Yes, Bob, it certainly did. The construction of I-90 hurt our parish quite a bit. Residential homes, of course, were lost, which meant parishioners and their families were lost. You lose that, you included in their family, of course, are the children for your school. I have wondered if the church had been built on Lakewood Heights Boulevard, where I believe Father Murphy originally was thinking of, what would have happened to St. Mel's when I-90 was built? If it had been built there, would St. Mel's had to relocate? But where? Would I-90 have been worked around it? We'll never know. The area down there, there was some property, but really not enough to warrant a church being built there. And thankfully, I feel, as a parishioner, fortunate that we have the area that we have, which is in a street that is very well traveled.
Yeah, that's interesting insight to understand what could have been, and thank goodness didn't happen, so that even though the interstate, I understand, you know, cut off quite a few what would have been would-be parishioners for St. Mel's once it was completed, nevertheless, it surely didn't hurt the main grounds in the campus. Well, I'm just looking. One of the interesting things that I had read, and Father, I turn to you, is really kind of a remarkable accomplishment as we look across the history of all the parishes of the diocese. I don't know if there's another parish in the diocese which has done more construction in a limited period of time than St. Mel's did back there during that, you know, baby boom era, if you will, post-World War II. But the other aspect of that is there's no evidence that there was ever any major debts incurred. The point being, I think the people were wonderfully supportive of everything that would go on as far as development of the parish. And I wondered if you could reflect on that for us.
Well, one of the first things is to point out what you said. In a period of 17 years, 45 to 62, all the buildings that existed for St. Mel Parish were built. That included the school with expansion, the Sisters Convent, the parish rectory, and the church building. In 17 years, a lot of construction was going on. And one of the things that I learned when I was assigned here in 2000 was there was no mortgage. There's no mortgage payments. And I explored that a little bit, talked to the gentleman who's the accountant for the parish. He told me he's worked there since 1977, and there was never a mortgage being paid even in his period of time. So the best I can figure out is that it's been a pay-as-you-go sort of parish, that somehow or another through a campaign for funds in the early years with Father Murphy, perhaps again with Monsignor Wolfe, who was the second pastor, funds were raised to pay for what was going to be done. And there was, as we pointed out, a good deal that was done over that time. And I've learned that from one of the parishioners who pointed out to me very early on, is there's anything you want to do, we'll support it. It will be taken care of. Best example of that was what we needed to do was replace the roof of the church. That was a capital campaign that we had. It was oversubscribed. It enabled us not only to replace the roof of the church, to provide the heating and cooling system completely redone within the church, and additional things, a pay-as-you-go kind of operation. And one of the best examples of that I experienced, when the school boiler went, same time that we were raising funds for the roof, school boiler went, and to a pastor, that's a real tragedy. What am I going to do? The school is still in operation. The finances were tight. That additional lump of money that was necessary for that boiler, what's going to happen? One day I'm driving out from the parish up the neighboring street, stop at the stop sign. A parishioner turns the corner, stops, rolls down his window, and hands me a piece of paper. I drive away, look at the piece of paper, is a check from a parishioner for $25,000.
For boiler. $25,000. Just hand it off as such.
Right. Wow. For the boiler. And that has been the case in a number of different instances, not as major as that, but instances where when we needed it, it was there. It was something I learned as a kid. Be generous. Generosity will come back to you. God takes care of us.
You know, Father, I asked that question, and then hearing your response, I just can't help but think that this has got to be a real tribute to the people. The parishioners love their faith, love their parish. I don't know how we could better explain that. Would you respond that to that as well?
Well, I think that's been very evident, and again, it's come through during this period of time now. One of the things that I've noticed from the diocese is a lot of push to how to raise funds, how to deal with the difficulties of people not attending Mass because of the pandemic. Never had a problem. They've not had a problem. They've been generous in their support, leaving it, mailing it in, not having to be reminded to do this. They've done it willingly, and it's been a tremendously moving experience for me to see the faith that is expressed by these parishioners over this past year.
Well, those are remarkable stories. They really are. Well, coming up, St. Mel's, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast is St. Mel's Parish in Cleveland's West Park neighborhood. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests via teleconference are St. Mel's pastor, Father Mark Fedor, and along with Mr. John Colombo, 70 years a parishioner at St. Mel's. Well, Father Fedor, first, how has the parish been coping with this COVID-19 pandemic? Tell us about your activities and present liturgies.
I think we've done well. It was difficult during the period of time when public liturgies were not permitted. And I wondered at that time what was going to happen after the churches were open up and the public liturgy could be celebrated. And the response was very good. I would say maybe at the beginning, 40 to 50% of those who were attending previously came. And that's increased slowly. There are some that have not come back, but I've always told people, be cautious of what your decision is. And they've been very good in terms of spacing and time and all that. One of the things that I did is when we went back to public worship, I just went with the schedule that had been there previously. Nothing special, nothing different. We did the things that we needed to do in terms of sanitizing the building and asking people to wear masks and to space themselves. But the building itself enabled them to do that, and they have done it wonderfully since that time. And we've increased slowly, and actually have experienced people coming from other places, unfortunately, leaving there to come here to celebrate liturgy with us. So it's been a very interesting experience. Another part of it is that during the time when public worship was not available and afterwards, to hear the comments, I miss it, or I want to be there, or the mass on television or live streaming, it's not the same thing. And what that told me is what they missed most was not only the element of the sacrifice of the mass, but the element of other people, the ones that they were familiar with, being in the same pew with them, seeing this face or that face, maybe not knowing the name, but this was all part of that familiarity of a parish community gathering together to worship.
That's incredible. Father, I think you had told me a story, too. You have an early morning mass, normally, and it gets an excellent attendance. Has that been the case?
The weekday mass, well, we have actually on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and then weekday at 6:45. During the week, we have people come from a variety of areas, probably 30, 35 people most mornings. That's four mornings out of the week. And it's striking to see them coming and hearing from them afterwards that this is something that they welcome because they it fits into the schedule of people who are on their way to work or early risers like I am. And to me, it's moving. And in the years that I've served at different parishes, I've never experienced that many people present on a day-to-day basis. And it's an inspiration.
Boy, this seems to reflect directly on the people of St. Mel's Parish again in so many ways. You know, I hear there's a debate right now that goes on philosophically, about the role of a parish or a church. Is its purpose worship or fellowship? And, it's interesting to hear your story. It sounds to me like St. Mel's really has had both, but the worship, the spiritual nature of this seems rather significant to your parishioners. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. My philosophy has been all my life that people come to a church primarily to worship and to try to do that in terms of the way we celebrate the liturgy, simply, directly, but praying together in that fashion. But like I said, the fellowship comes from the familiarity of the people that are there and seeing them there and gaining strength in one's own faith from the exhibition of faith by others. I just immediately thought of there was an elderly lady who used to come on Saturday afternoons, and she used a walker, and she, well into her 80s, she always climbed the steps. That was her exercise, but she was going to be there. Still have some even now. When you try to counsel them, you're vulnerable. Don't come. I want to be here. I want to be here. These are two I can think of are in their 90s, like John here. So, but that faith has been instilled from very early on and is very evident.
John Colombo, any liturgies or particular events, spiritual or liturgically related, that stick out in your mind over 70 years in the parish? Any particular service that you love to attend or witness?
I've been trying to think, Bob, while you're having a discussion with Father, any one particular thing. And I don't know if any one particular thing stands out to me. Just the fact of going to church, saying our prayers, listening to our priest, the gospel and the homilies that are given. And to me, the homilies were a big thing. I'm an usher, and I stand in the back of church, and I see people, and their minds are just wandering. They're not paying the least bit of attention. And it's a shame, but there are some priests that are naturally a lot better than others. Father Wigan, the past priest here, stands on my mind the most, I think, because he had a tendency to work in those certain aspects or things that had transpired in his family, more of a personal thing. And I noticed that to me was great, and a lot of the parishioners, I think, felt the same thing. You could tell a lot by standing in the back of the church and seeing the reaction of parishioners to the priest and what he's having to say. I think that's about the best I can do for you off the top of my head.
No, that's fine. And that really is fascinating insight. And thank you. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. And this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Mel's Parish in Cleveland's West Park neighborhood. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. And as written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone. Thanks for listening.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.